Welcome to Mosaic Senior Life's podcast, Senior Sense, Navigating Your Journey. I am Mary Przinski, here with my co-host, David Magner. Today we are here with attorney James Hughes. James has been in practice for 40 plus years. Previously, he was a trial attorney at McNamara and Kennedy in Bridgeport for 19 years. And for the past 20 years, he has dedicated his practice to elder law. His practice is in Fairfield, and it is called the Law Offices of James M. Hughes. He helps his clients address many legal matters, including estate planning, estate preservation, Title 19 Medicaid planning, preparation of important life documents such as wills, power of attorney and healthcare instructions, trust, and he also handles probate of estates. Jim lives in Fairfield with his wife. They have 4 children, 9 grandchildren, and therefore he is familiar with the many issues facing the aging boomers and their parents. Today we're going to be talking about getting your estate in order when a spouse is disabled or who has dementia. When is a good time to sit down with an elder law attorney to talk about getting your estate or your loved one's estate in order, Jim?
Mary, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And I think that the time to do that is as soon as you believe or learn that your spouse might be developing an issue with the early dementia or others, or had a stroke perhaps. Now, if you're in your 70s, that's an important time. But I often meet with people who are in their mid-60s. And we start making plans when you're in your mid-60s. And we talk to the financial advisor, and we also talk to the elder law attorney, who would be me. But don't wait too long, because there are certain, you know, ramifications and timelines that we have to take care of business. First of all, I get referrals from financial advisors. The clients already have a financial advisor, and they say, you better speak with an elder law attorney like me. Doesn't have to be me, but see if you get your affairs in order, because you have a lot of assets or you have some assets and you want to protect them. If one of you becomes sick or disabled or has early dementia or Alzheimer's, or there's a family history of that, that's another time to think about making some plans.
Sure. So how can someone start the process of finding a financial planner or elder law attorney to help them through this, and how to navigate what many feel is a really difficult process if they haven't been through it?
Well, I think that the financial advisor you have already has referred people out for legal advice, for elder law advice. If you don't have a financial planner, that's part of the evaluation that we make at my office. Because one of the questions I ask is, what's your assets basis? What are you worth today? Well, a lot of people own their house, and their house has no mortgage. And obviously, that is a huge asset. And then they have other investments and other assets. And the goal is to preserve those assets. So your own financial advisor, if you have one already, is going to help you do that. But the financial advisor might say, I think we need to make some other plans, and that's, they'll refer out to an elder law attorney. When I meet with folks, I do ask about their finances. It's so important for me to understand what are you worth. So if you own that house, often that has no mortgage, it's 100% owned, and mom and dad own the house, and dad is starting to develop, I'm using a hypothetical here, and dad's starting to develop early dementia. What can we do to preserve those assets if that dementia becomes worse and requires in-home care or in-facility care? And then there are things we can do, and I'll review them probably later, but it's so important to start the process.
When you talk about facility care, one of the biggest questions I sometimes get asked by caregivers or partners, or maybe a child who's taking care of their older parents, they ask about this look back, a 5-year look back. What does that kind of look like? And I know some people are surprised when they do see an elder attorney that they had no idea about, you know, assets and Medicaid and stuff like that.
That's a great question, because that 5-year look back is important for people that don't have the money to pay for long-term care, and most people don't have. The running costs in the town of Fairfield in multiple facilities is over $20,000 a month. So who's got $20,000 a month? So there are things we can do 5 years ahead of time. So that's why I'm suggesting 65 to 70 is to start making your plans then. Don't wait for a horrible thing to happen to a good person. So one of the things that I do often is transfer the house to the children. And that has to be done 5 years before you, before you need in-home or in-facility care. And when you transfer the home to your children, that's not a trust. It's just a quick claim deed that transfers ownership to your children. But mom and dad keep a life use, and that protects mom and dad. They're safe in their house. The children can't kick them out. The children cannot mortgage or refinance the house. And now the parents who have a life use have to continue to pay the taxes, the homeowner's insurance, the common charges if it's a condo. If the roof leaks, it's still the parents' liability and responsibility legally to take care of that building, that house. The children own title subject to mom and dad's life use. And there's a lot of capital gain exposures and such that I review with the clients at a in-depth meeting. We don't have time today for that, but that's one of the easy things to do is to transfer your house to your kids and retain a life use. In reality, some children shouldn't own a house. They've got creditors chasing after them. They've had, there's liens from prior judgments, and there's other issues with a particular child. So that child, we really don't give a share to that child because it'll just end up being used for payback to the state of Connecticut or somewhere else. Again, a lot of factual issues that have to be looked at with regard to transfer of a house. That's just one of the steps, one of many steps that people should consider. And it's not a trust. That's another thing that I do talk about with the client is, do you want a trust? Do you need a trust? Do you need an irrevocable trust? Now, the other trust is a revocable trust, which I'll discuss too, but that's a long discussion, and not everyone needs a trust.
So if somebody's going to an elder law attorney, what is your advice on some subjects that they should be talking about?
There's a lot of issues. Number one is to make sure you go to an elder law attorney, not a real estate attorney, not a contract attorney, not just make sure you stick with the right field, because not all attorneys can help you with elder law issues. So that's one thing, is to get to an elder law attorney. Now, you should have a will. And here's a very important clue. This is your $10 bonus question. Your husband has started to develop early dementia. You have a will from 20 years ago that says, when I die, I leave everything to my husband. Okay? That will is no good anymore because your husband is already showing signs of dementia or Alzheimer's, early Alzheimer's or whatever. And you don't want that will anymore because if the healthy spouse, and I'm using air quotes, if the healthy spouse predeceases the disabled spouse that has dementia, the healthy spouse has to make a new will. Maybe they have cancer. Maybe they have a heart condition. We don't know, but it happens. The healthy spouse, maybe they're burned out from all the care they've given to the
disabled. Which happens.
Which does happen. Yeah. So that spouse has to make a new will. Your old will is history. It is toast. And your new will does what the state of Connecticut requires you to do. And that is to leave a 1/3 of your estate to your disabled spouse, which pays income only. They don't touch the principal. I'm getting a little technical here, but that new will leaves 1/3 in a trust for the disabled father in my hypothetical. And you know where the other 2/3 goes? It goes to your children. Mm. So you've just set up your husband's application for Title 19 or Medicaid by this new will that you did. And it has happened to me at least on two occasions where the so-called healthy spouse predeceases the disabled spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the number one thing that I look at is, does the healthy spouse need a new will? 90 or 100% of the times the answer is yes. The other thing we need is a power of attorney. There's little I can do. There's a little that we can do without a proper POA, power of attorney. And that, if you have a power of attorney from 10 or 20 years ago, you better have it looked at and updated, because that's important. The old power of attorney from 10 or 20 years ago doesn't give enough power or authority to the person you appoint. That power of attorney needs to be updated to give the agent who's doing all the things for the mom and the dad or whoever they're helping out. So always update your power of attorney. Another important document is the healthcare instruction, also known as a living will. And I think everybody has an idea of what is a living will. Well, if you're terminally ill and you're in advanced stages of some illness, and you're expected to die within a relatively short time, it doesn't say a day or 24 hours or 48 hours or a week. The living will says within a relatively short time. This living will says, I don't want artificial respiration. I don't want cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And I don't want artificial means of hydration or nutrition. I don't want to be hooked up to the drip, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So that only kicks in when you're terminally ill, not when you're getting shoulder surgery, which is hard to say, or knee surgery. So don't bring it with you. You don't need it. But that's one of the documents that I'm going to make sure that is in great order. Now, we talked about the healthy spouse's will, which we're going to change. And, you know, Lord willing, the healthy spouse will survive the disabled spouse that has dementia. Now, in that will where I left a third, we left a third in trust for the disabled husband. We need a trustee. We need a boss of that trust, because now mom, the healthy spouse, is predeceased. She's not with us anymore. And we have this trust with one third of the net estate assets that's in trust for dad, who's still around. We need a boss. We need a trustee. That's probably going to be a son or a daughter that's capable. And what is capable? They can write a check. They can balance a checkbook. And their only job is to quarterly write a check to dad, because he's since mom passed away, by the way, he's no longer at home because there's nobody there to take care of him. So where is he? He might be in a nursing home. He might have moved in with an adult, reliable daughter or a son, you know, in an in-law apartment. Who knows? But we need a trustee of that trust. It's not a big responsibility. Now, when the disabled dad passes away, what happens to that one third that was in that trust? Well, here's the answer. It goes to the surviving children. Okay. So that's just the way that mom and dad wanted everything in the first place. But the principle is never touched. It's the interest only that we've been using to help pay dad's monthly bills. Okay. We never trust the principle. So that is a great planning step to take. All right. The other things that you have to do is we actually have to, when one spouse is disabled with dementia or Alzheimer's or had a stroke, the healthy spouse, we have to retitle the assets into the name of the healthy spouse. So let's say that mom and dad had a joint account and it had $100,000 in it. Let's say, so it's joint money. Well, guess what? If dad has dementia, we're going to take dad's name off of that account. We're going to just keep mom's name on it. Mom is healthy, by the way. She's not expected to predecease, but she could, you know. So we don't want a joint account where the healthy spouse dies and leaves that $100,000 to the disabled spouse with dementia. So those are steps that have to be undertaken by the healthy spouse. And the healthy spouse is overwhelmed. She's taking care of her husband. She's got, running the household. She's hiring people to come in. She's firing people that don't work out. And she might need help. And who's going to step up? Hopefully a lovely daughter like Mary would step up and say, Mom, I'm going to help do this. Attorney Hughes said we need to do these steps. Let's do it. So you have to sometimes get help for the healthy spouse to complete these steps. Now, the other thing is that Mom has a life insurance policy, hypothetically, and it's going to pay $25,000 or $50,000. And she named Dad as the beneficiary of that life insurance policy years ago. Guess what? We don't want Dad with dementia as the beneficiary of Mom's life insurance. Mm. Now, Mom also has a CD from the bank, a certificate of deposit, and that names Dad as a beneficiary. Well, we're going to remove Dad from that CD. Mom also has an IRA. She worked for 20 or 30 years for a company, and she's getting a monthly pension from somewhere. And she has IRA money invested in individual retirement accounts. And Dad is the name beneficiary. Guess what? We have to take Dad's name off of those IRAs. We don't want Dad to inherit Mom's IRAs, because all we're doing is funding his future care. But what we're trying to do is put all this money into Mom's name, so that if Mom predeceases, unfortunately, due to some other disease that she developed, we don't want Dad to inherit 100%. We only want Mom's new will with the 1/3 life estate to Dad in a trust. So that's another step that has to be done. You've got to retitle your assets, even your house that you own with Dad. Mom and Dad own a house jointly, like most couples. You know, when they get married, they buy a house together. It's joint survivorship. If one spouse dies, it goes to the survivor. So that's another situation that we have to change the title at the town hall, which requires help from a legal attorney, probably an elder law attorney, that we're going to quit claim the house from Dad, who has dementia, over to Mom. And Mom becomes the sole owner in my hypothetical. And we need a quit claim deed to do that. Now, Dad doesn't have the ability to understand what's a quit claim deed. He's got dementia. He doesn't understand what we're trying to do. That's why Dad needs that power of attorney that he did a year ago or 2 years ago when he was healthy. He did a power of attorney, and he probably appointed his wife to be his agent. Okay. So we can do that transfer using a power of attorney so that the house is not in survivorship anymore. And that's usually the largest asset that couples have around this part of the world anyway. What else do we do? We have to make sure that all the assets are in Mom's name in my hypothetical situation. So I'm talking about a married couple, and we've got to fund Mom's estate, because she's the healthy spouse and we don't want her to predecease. Those are a lot of steps that have to be undertaken, and it's a lot of work.
So quickly, to go off the power of attorney, we've been mentioning that. Let's say, Jim, I have a power of attorney or a healthcare representative for myself. Just very quickly, what are things they really should know about taking care of my benefits, let's say?
Okay. The power of attorney is you appointed an agent, and that agent is going to step in your shoes and do all the things that Mom or Dad could do. And one of the things is to retitle those assets we just talked about. And or to apply for benefits. Let's say that Mom and Dad don't have a lot of money, okay, and they may qualify for benefits. So that agent that you just appointed using the power of attorney that you did 2 years ago or 3 years ago or yesterday, it doesn't really matter, that agent is going to be able to apply for benefits, for state benefits through the Medicaid program, through Title 19, through the Veterans Department. There's a lot of veterans benefits too out there.
Correct.
And the agent that you've established in your power of attorney can say, oh my gosh, I'm going to meet with an elder law attorney and I'm going to learn about all these steps that I'm going to undertake to help Mom and Dad. And I'm going to use my power of attorney to do it. That's why a lot can get done by an agent. And if you don't have a POA, that's one of the first steps to take, is to get a power of attorney in place. And that agent under your health care, okay, so you also had a new health care document where you appointed your healthy spouse to be your agent, and maybe your son or your daughter as an alternate or a successor agent. So they can help, these agents can help you do what must be done. And it's so important to have that in place, both of those documents.
That's great. A lot of great information here. I guess the most important question is, because people that are listening are going to want to know, is if somebody wants to get in touch with you, can you give us your telephone number? Can you give us an email address?
Sure. My contact information is the law office of James M. Hughes. I'm located in downtown Fairfield at 1432 Post Road in Fairfield, directly across the street from the Centro restaurant and the outdoor gazebo. So if you're downtown Fairfield, you can't miss me. And my email is Hughes_James@SBC, as in Sam Boy Cat, global.net. It's an old email, but it works well for me. Mm-hmm. And my phone number is 203-256. Here's the easy part, 1977. 203-256-1977.
Jim, Mary and I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I know I learned a lot, so I hope the listeners learned a lot as well and hopefully reach out to you because it's such an important thing to
thanks
to
for
go
having
see
me.
Your elder care attorney. So thank you.
And to be prepared.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast for Mosaic Senior Life. Please stay tuned for additional episodes on topics that are meaningful to you. In the meantime, please call us at 833-MSL-LINK, 833-MSL-LINK, that's 833-675-5465, or contact us at mosaicsl.org. That's Mosaic with a Z, S as in senior, L as in life, .org, mosaicsl.org, for more information on any of our services.